This is CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man. We are back at it. Your boy is back. Your boy is back. Yeah, last week, I'm sorry, I left you guys alone last week. And we did one of those things again. Advertising happened once again. You know, advertising does that thing, you know. The thing that we all do, where you think you know where you're going to be in the next 30 minutes, and then the traffic lady says, no, actually, you need to be somewhere else. But yeah, so advertising happened to me last week, but I'm glad I'm back with you guys, man. It's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks of dope advertising. Well, of advertising. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. There've been some dope things, and then there've also been some things that are a bit questionable. But it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it. Catch me on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM. That's at CliffCentral.com. Hit me up. Tell me what's on your mind. You can even hit me up on Facebook. That's at GrantTolle on Facebook. At Grant's Toilet, one word on Instagram. You see, you know, the other thing is that, you know, like, sometimes you get guests that come into the show and just start running things. You know, like, they just start getting to the studio and they start doing whatever they damn well please. I just got some instructions from my guest. But if you follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, you know that I've got a really, really exciting guest with me in the studio today. You'll get to meet her later. We're going to chat about some stuff. We're going to chat about all the amazing stuff she's up to. And all that. We're going to have a great time. But once again, if you have been following me on Facebook or Twitter, you know who I'm hanging out with. Send me your questions. Send me your comments for her. What you want to know. What you want to know about her. What you want to know about me. What you want to know about what I've been up to. But let's get into some of the news. Some of the stuff that's happened in the past 2 weeks. In fact, too much has happened in the past 2 weeks. I'm just going to go to the stuff that's happened last week. So last week, I caught an invite to this thing. In fact, Chedza and I caught an invite to this thing. Huge shout out to the homie Chedza for making things happen, guys. You know, guys, this show, né? Yeah. Huge shout out to the homie Chedza for making shit happen. So Chedza and I got an invite last week, and we went to Mesh. Not that other one. I mean, we love that other one, but we didn't go to that one. We went to the one in Rosebank. And it was dope because TBWA were hosting what they called the Festival of Creativity. Right? No, dope. I mean it's a little pressure to call anything the Festival of Creativity. We got this invite to the Festival of Creativity. In fact, you know what? I'm gonna ask Cheese some questions about some of this stuff. But yeah, so the guys at TBWA, he's being all shy on us right now. That's Cheese for you guys. You know, anybody who's ever bumped into Cheese in the streets knows that he's not shy, but he's acting all types of shy right now. So Cheese and I were invited to the Festival of Creativity at Mesh, invited by Huntless Scarus. What they're saying is, in fact, I'm reading from Karabudi Nalane. Here, huge shout out, Mr. Karabudi. What's going on? He said after the whole thing, he said, on Tuesday, we hosted the inaugural Huntless Scarus Festival of Creativity, where we shared learnings from all the creative inspirations we've witnessed across the globe. Thank you to our clients, friends, partners, and team for making it possible. And then he goes and tags Mr. Pete Khoury, Kabelo Mshabalo, Jenny Glover, and Rui Alves. So it was dope. It actually was really dope. Over and above, you know, Karabo having written like he's writing for ANN7. But you know, it was actually quite dope. Jeez. I thought it was pretty cool. What did you make of that whole thing?
Was cool, was interesting, other than the showcasing previous work that it won.
Yeah.
The most interesting part for me was that engineer there who was talking about where where things are headed, which made a couple of people uncomfortable.
Yeah, me included. Yeah, at some point, you know, like, yeah, but I mean, you know, let's leave that guy alone. But I thought it was really dope.
The initiative was dope, and getting all people from different agencies to come through and just see and have a that was dope. Yeah,
because nobody would, these are the kind of things that you would do, like, you know, like after Cannes or after Louis, you know, that those great evenings that you have with your clients when you come out and you make hot dogs and the clients come through to your agency. And you talk about like the work that you love, and then the work that you kind of wished you had done, and all that, and that's what this whole thing was about. It was actually quite cool, and what was dope about it, what was different, was that they actually invited people from other agencies. So I mean, it was a little uncomfortable at first, you know, to kind of walk,
showcase their work first.
Exactly. No. But they were showcasing stuff, some of the stuff from around the globe. But there was some really cool stuff. I remember they showed that Audi thing, that Audi sandpit thing, that I really dig. But yeah, that was really, really cool. So yeah, so huge shout out to the homies at TVWA for hosting a dope event, and hoping it's the first annual. You know, everyone says, when someone says the first annual, they're saying it's coming. But also, that you'll see how that's a great joke when you meet my guest later. You know, who's done a lot of first annuals. Anyway, so something else happened this week. Wait, before we get into that, I have to give a huge shout out to the homie Mr. Jacques Falcon Moody for the star beat that's playing in the background. This beat's called Star, when I call it Star Beat. So huge shout out to Mr. Jacques Falcon Moody, one of us doing dope things. So we opened Mark Liz the other day, and there's an announcement. Graham Lang is leaving. Graham Lang is leaving. That he was leaving YNR, right? And then it actually turns out Open Mark Lives again today. Huge shout out once again to the homies at Mark Lives, Mr. Herman Mason and his squad. Yeah, so it turns out Graham Lang is moving overseas to Juniper Park TBWA, right? So I saw that and all that. But then the following, about 2 days later, I saw a thing that said YNR Cape Town is closing down. Now, That shit is all that is that concerning stuff that we keep talking about. And you know what? I guess it's also like, you know, the proverbial wheels of the advertising bus going round and round. And a part of the conversations that we've had before about, like, you know, you lose one big client and everyone just kind of goes, yes, you know, the whole thing was kind of was the whole thing anchored on one big client. And then it actually turns out it was. Right? And I mean, there's a statement that the guys put out here. It says here, well, but it's a statement by Jason Zanopoulos, the CEO of Native VML and YNR South Africa, says consolidating the agency's focus and efforts around Joburg makes business sense. It already houses its major clients and its growth prospects. According to him, the group tried to make the Cape Town office work, but the market has remained small and the office hasn't regained viability after Pick and Pay. Shoo. That's tough, man. That's tough. It's not easy. And I mean, I think we, you know, I've been a part of, you know, of an agency going through the loss of a big account, not necessarily closing down, but you kind of know what that does to the morale of an agency and all that. So huge. Good luck to the guys at YNR. It does sound like they have a plan. I'd like to think that they have some kind of plan. But yeah, it's all kinds of it's all happening. It feels like we've hit that silly season of advertising, where things are moving and things are closing down. But yeah, so good luck to Mr. Graham Lang, who's moving overseas, and good luck to the guys to Jason Zanopoulos and the guys at Native VML and YNR on trying to make this whole thing work. You know, it feels like they're consolidating their efforts in Joburg. In fact, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm going to introduce my guest now, right? And then because I actually want to get her opinion on this entire thing. Yeah, she's giving me a look right now. Like, what the fuck? What are you doing? So, like, I've switched on your mic. So calm down. really? So I mean, if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, you'll know that I've posted who the lady that I'm hanging out with. Like, I don't think there's anything this lady has not done, right? But we're gonna get into that. I don't know where she finds the hours in one day. You know what I mean? Like even her own Facebook profile can't keep up with her. It still says the wrong thing. It says that she's doing another job when she's doing a whole completely other job. But in the studio with me today, guys, I've got the amazing, talented Miss Nandi Lebu. What's up?
Hello.
How are you doing?
I am fantastic, and you?
It's so good to have you in the studio. Once again, guys, huge shout out to Cheese once again, guys. Cheese makes things happen, guys. You know what I mean? Like... You know, I don't know how you managed to get Nandi in the stool, but like, because we've been trying for a while, and she's in the stool today. So how are you doing, lady?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yeah, tell us what are you up to? What did we pull you away from? Like what job? What's in your in-tray right now?
What fire are you putting out?
Oh my god. So obviously from the 9 to 5 as business unit director at TNW.
Boom. TNW Stephen and Whittaker, yo. Shout out to the homies at Stephen and Whittaker.
So we have quite a number of productions in line that I'm just overseeing for my clients, APSA, yeah. DSTV, and SuperSport.
That's what's up.
And then I have the Bloom Creative Women and Entrepreneurs Conference this Saturday.
Oh, boom, that's what's up.
Yeah, so I'm handling that as we go along. Yeah. And then I have Feel Good Series, my day party. At Joburg next week, Saturday. So
I told you guys.
Busy,
I told you guys. And I don't know.
Locking that down.
Yeah?
Yes. And then also just working on a film festival. We're coming out end of October, but we'll start making announcements about that in the next like week or two. So just working on that as
that
well.
That is insane.
Yeah.
You know, guys, like I said all the time, you know, like, you know, we are sitting there worrying about, you know, I've got
feel like an underachiever.
Yeah, I've got job bags for things and excuse bags on my desk. You know what I mean? And I've got four. And I'm like, guys, how many hours can't they are in this day? And like you managed to do all the stuff. How?
Your passion. I think when you really love what you do, you love the things, you know, that you're currently working on, you make the time.
That's right.
I won't lie to you, it's not easy.
Yeah. I doubt it's easy. I can't imagine it's easy.
It's not easy. I'm constantly being broken up with like and this is friends. Disclaimer, Hussein and I are together in Hadi. I'm talking about friends. Disclaimer.
Guys, this is G-Man the Ant-Man on CliffCentral.com, where things just come out. You know what I mean?
We, that was not an exclusive.
Guys, we talk exclusives here on G-Man the Ant-Man. Shout out Hussein. What's going on, bro? Look, we've kept it together.
But no, for real. So I'm constantly like having to manage relationships across the board.
That's right.
With my family, with my friends, with my son, and people who care and see what it is that I'm trying to do and build are incredibly supportive. I think my son pretty much attends all the child-friendly events and launches. You know, he is very comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah.
6 years old and holding it down.
That's dope. Okay, wait, but I feel like you're going too fast. Hold on, Nandi. I want to get your opinion on this piece that we just spoke about.
Okay,
now,
cool.
Right. So like, I mean, you're at Dagwell and Whittaker now, and you've been at one or two places before.
Yes.
Right. It's like I said, your profile still says Rapid Blue, because you know that's like a part of the stuff that you've done. Like what happens in kind of an environment, in a business environment or like an advertising environment, when you get news like this, you know, like kind of when you kind of get news that, like, you know, you've had this big account and they're gonna move, how could you encapsulate that feeling that kind of takes over the agency at that time?
Firstly, just the reaction to those type of news is that you look at internally.
You start blaming yourself.
Yeah, and then also I think for me, like when just like hearing that, I'm just like, what does our landscape look like at TNW? Like,
that's right.
Is the account, are we also like over relying on one
account?
And then
yeah.
like, and I think you sense check and yeah. you make sure. And I think it's very dangerous. I mean, we all know this. Yeah. We all know this. It's very dangerous to live off one account.
That's right.
Like, so constantly, how are we spending our money as agencies in terms of new business? Like what's the drive to get new business?
That's
and how we're doing in that arena. But I think we have a pretty well and diversified portfolio, so I'm not nervous.
I love that. I love you just turned it back around onto us. Yeah, but we're fine. Don't you worry about us.
Don't you worry about us.
But
call us.
Yeah. Just like, we're not there yet. We're not at the plug yet. Nandi, you need to calm yourself down. You really need to calm yourself down. We're not there yet. But yeah, guys, I'm hanging out with Miss Nandi Lebu in the studio today. Hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter. It's @Blacksim. If you have any questions for her, anything you want to know about Tekwele and Ritika, about Hussein. you know what I mean? Hit us up. It's really great to have you in the studio once again. So, and more news that I bumped into on the Mugler's website once again, that Vinduk has appointed a digital agency called Texas. Hmm? Right? No. Yeah, I know. Texas. It's spelled TECHSYS. But I think it's intentional that they call it Texas. I don't know how good an idea that is to call yourselves Texas. You know what I mean? Also because, you know, we know how the black folk are handled at that place. So like, what is cool though? What is cool is that you know, like, we're hearing a lot of big accounts kind of going, we know we have like a principal agency, right? Mm-hmm. But we're gonna choose this like little. Oh no, guys at Texas, I'm sorry, I don't mean to call you guys little, but we're gonna choose this smaller a digital agency, in order to handle the stuff outside of the main agency. How viable do you think that is, Nandi? Do you think that we should still be trying to keep things in one place, or are the tech companies and the small digital agencies coming for our money?
They're coming for your money, dog.
And they're fronting. And they're shy about it.
Yeah. Have you guys kind of dealt with that kind of thing? Do you have like collaborations with other agencies where like
absolutely?
You know, yeah.
Absolutely.
I know you guys kind of have something like that on DSTV, right?
Yeah, so I think we're very much a collaborative agency. I think as individuals and as a company,
yeah.
And I think it's just, it also just like there's like an evolution in terms of the workforce, and I think you need to understand people move around. Sometimes you follow the people who have moved around.
Yeah.
So the person that you liked working with at a particular agency,
you kind of move with them.
You kind of move with them, but also just like in the race of like fresh and innovative like ideas and just like shit, you wanna like spread your wings out and just like try like I don't know. There's just, you can't go wrong with collaborations. I know that there's some agencies who worry about collaborations, worried that obviously the collaborative agency may take away the client.
Oh, we know all about that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the digital agencies bring radio spots.
Yeah.
We know all about that.
I mean, it's justified. But what I have done and what we have done in terms of how we work with other agencies, and we have really great relationship. For instance, we work on APSA.
Yeah.
So we work on the Below the Line. So we do all the Prosper films, and we've been doing them for a number of years. And I think that it's really important.
So even before it was at FCB.
Before it was at FCB, it was at Jupiter, So, and you see, I think it's a basic understanding of your lane, you know.
As the kids say,
don't swerve, stay in your lane. I think it's always great to like. I respect, that certain agencies come with certain reputations, come with a certain caliber of creators.
That's right.
And like, it's all about coming together to do what's best for the client.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge advocate of that. So we work and we like, we have a status meeting, and in that status, it's a multi-agency
status meeting. Yeah.
And it's one of those meetings I look forward to in the week. The client looks forward to it because it's so great to sit in a room and know that all these people are on board to make you look and be great.
Ah, right. And not the fact that all these egos are here drinking the same coffee.
No. Yeah. It's not about that. There's a coffee machine. Everybody gets a coffee. It's fine.
Yeah. No, that's great. So huge shout out to the guys at Texas. I mean, we'll talk about that name another time. But huge shout out to the guys at Texas for winning the Vinduk account. And we look forward to seeing some dope stuff. Not that stuff that we once saw a lot of months ago. San Bonani Ama Weekends. That was once done for Vinduk a long time ago.
Coming straight out of Cape Town.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we look forward to seeing some stuff.
I have no comment.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. They know about it. That's how they got the account, I think. So I think that huge shout out to the homies at Texas for winning the Vinduk account. So there's also this dope new KFC ad. That's out. I don't know if you guys have seen. It's a TV ad, and it's like it's got chicken everywhere, right?
I mean, as it should.
Yeah, as one should. Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, in fact, some people have even suggested that it's my voice on that thing. Guys, you don't know how much you pay for this voice, guys. It's not me. It's somebody who's obviously on the come up. But I don't know. No, nothing wrong. But yeah, but like, so it's this new KFC ad that's literally like, you know, it's like one of those that almost feels like it's looking at itself. You know, there's like a guy who's like playing drums with two drumsticks.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? There's like these guys who have these drumsticks coming out like they look like the Cohibas, but they're actually drumsticks.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's just chicken everywhere. So it feels like one of those things that like it's like a celebration of chicken. So yeah. So well done, guys at who make KFC adverts at Ogilvy for that great TV ad. I only mentioned that because somebody told me that the guy sounded like me. I listened to it. The guy doesn't sound like me. He sounds like he's on the come up. He will be fine. But I think the ad is actually quite dope. Yeah. He's going to be cool. But now, guys, yeah. Let's chat Tunandi. So, like, I mean, if you've been in Joburg for about 10 minutes, yeah. You know, I'm sure you've been to something that you didn't even know was organized by Nandi. Yeah, exactly. But you know, I wanna get into your role as firstly, right, as the business unit director at Thakral and Whitaker, right? How has everything you've done up until now, right, kind of led to that role and prepped you for this business unit director role at Thakral and Whitaker?
So
it's okay, we got time.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah, let's start at the very beginning.
So I come from a production background.
Right.
And obviously so I was head of production at Thakral and Whitaker before being moved over to business unit director. Right. And it just came a point in my career where I was like, you know what, I really wanna be more hands on in terms of the strategic and business objectives, right, of the company. I felt like I had something to contribute, and yeah, like Gareth, our MD and ECD, felt the same. Cool. And I think just there was a direct relationship between all the stuff that I do that informed that. So for instance, when you treat like an event or any new project that you're doing, you know, on the side, you actually have to treat it like a business as well.
That's right.
So the thinking is pretty much the same. And I found that the more projects and initiatives and, you know, things I was creating, just the more adapted I was at thinking in a certain way.
Right.
Just like in terms of like always factoring the business objectives, a lot of strategy and a lot of creative strategy,
yeah,
and content strategy to degree. And I was like, I just wanted to encompass, I want those skills to be encompassed in, yeah, everything that I do.
There's something that's really funny about that, because earlier we were talking about, you know, staying in your lane, yeah, right? Yeah. And how did you find, did you find that like crossing over from production to the strategic side that you were always interested in? Did you find that you got the look of like, hey, why don't you stay in your production lane? You know what I mean? Because people do that. In agencies, people are like, no, but you know, like, in agencies, people are also always on some, like, some people say, everyone can come up with ideas, guys. And then the creators are like, no.
Just, yeah.
But well, like, did you find that? Did you find that like you got looks when you kind
not
of...
Not really, because yeah, I had already done so much on the side,
right,
and I think that I was qualified. I may not have been qualified in the traditional come up sense,
yeah,
but I think when people looked, it made sense. It was, yeah, like, what? I'd done enough. There was, they're like, what? Oh yeah, actually, she did the weekend social. She ran that business,
yeah,
with the other girls, you know, quite effectively and successfully.
Yeah,
actually, she also does this. She does that.
Shout out the weekend social, y'all. What's going on?
Created certain brands out there.
Yeah. In fact, you know,
so it made sense.
Yeah, I want to actually ask you about that, because like, you know, we constantly talking about, like, people call things side hustles. I actually don't believe that there's no such thing as side hustles anymore. You know what I mean? So tell me about Weekend Social. You know, like I'm always intrigued by people who do, like, you know, like these their 9-to-5s, and then they're doing this amazing stuff that people call side hustles, but they're actually businesses, like you just said. How do you start the weekend social? At what point do you and the other girls kind of go, you know what, we're going to do this thing called the weekend social? What is it? What was the weekend social? And what inspired it?
Firstly, I need to say that, like, you're completely right about that term side hustle. It is like, it does a disservice to you, because actually it makes that other thing that you're doing secondary when it's not.
That's right.
And I think there's like a top level thing. So like, firstly, like, I always, like, poetically, we all refer to ourselves as storytellers.
Right.
And I think that stories can sit on different types of platforms. So you can tell a story through like an event, through an experience. You can tell a story, you know, digitally, socially, whatever. Right. And that's just dope. Understanding, like, taking yourself just a level above and understanding that these are just outputs. This is just how you're expressing and communicating.
That's right. Yeah.
You know,
it's another creative expression.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's why I've been able to do a lot of things. So when I take a step back, I introduce myself as somebody who's like a content producer or a storyteller, because I need people to understand that content, whatever platform it is relevant for, that's where I'll put it. Yeah. You know how, so that's that. But as far as the weekend social is concerned, it just really came out of a need. Like, at the end of the day, I think that the city, Johannesburg particularly, has like really intense and amazing nightlife. And then we had like this daytime, like, markets were just on the come up at the time. Right. And, you know, I was like, you kind of like wanted a combination of the two.
Yeah.
So it was like, so we felt like, okay, cool, there's a gap here. So it really did come from a need. At the time, I think my son was like a year old.
Yeah.
And I still wanted to party. And I was like, I need a daytime group. Yeah. Where's the daytime group? Look for this daytime group. Didn't find one. Had some really great and amazing women around me, and we decided to create one. And I mean, they had their own, you know, reasons for it. But there's always, I think, when you create from a personal need and motivation, and then that aligns with an actual gap,
I think that's really, really dope. Because, like, you know what I mean? Like I said, the show is always about, like, branding and advertising. Like, and the Weekend Social started to attract some really, really big brands, right? And like, how do you think like because there are other things that, like, you know, get started and then, you know, we don't go, so they stop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like how do you think that like your passion and your understanding of the need kind of attracts the big brands and it makes it easier for brands to kind of collaborate with you?
Yeah. Eventually, I think people always get it like.
Oh, it's tough in the beginning.
Yeah, eventually, people always get it mixed up. People don't remember that there was a time that event was not branded. We didn't have brand partners. We also were knocking on doors, you know, trying to get people to partner up with us. But you keep on going. It's like it's a consistency thing. And I think even when people start their own events, there's this whole thing of if I don't turn around brands in X amount of time, and and the thing is, you actually, before you attract a brand or partner with a brand, I think it's really important for you to build your brand
first.
And I think to make those, because I think sometimes it's too soon. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta take it slow. You gotta date a brand, you know. You know what I mean?
We keep coming back to this relationship thing. Not you, what's going on?
Relationships are great metaphors for everything. You know, it's like, you know, you look around a bit, you date a couple of people, you date a couple of brands, and then once you find one that aligns and you go for it. But I have to say that you first have to build the brand first, because there's certain things, and I mean, like, when you get a brand on too quickly, they start actually
dictating your story,
changing the narrative of what it is that you're trying to create. But when you're like a year in, you've built that kind of your own personal brand love and consistency, pretty much brands either align or fall in line.
That's right, you know?
You have to let down easy, because they were not aligning with your
exactly brand. And you have to say that, and you know, people be like, you know, I want to jump on this, and you actually have to turn people down. It's the same thing with when it comes to Bloom, when it comes to Feel Good.
Well,
I'm constantly having to have this engagement of like, oh my god, this is a lot of money.
but is it a brand fit?
Exactly. And you have to say that. And the thing is, it's like, dude, if you are consistent, you will make money. But you have, and you can, people can smell bullshit from far. They'll be why is Gillette at the Weekend Social? You know, where is the symmetry? How are they aligning? And then you find people, because, you know, this brand has paid you so much. Sorry, Gillette, we love you. I'm just using an example.
Shout out to the guys at Gillette.
Shout out. Yeah. But like, now you have people like with marketing saying, and yes, because we want our guys to look smooth and charming to come to the Weekend Social. And then somebody on the other line is like, poo, 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 poo. You know, like, you can, so you always have like brand fits and alignments. And like, sometimes it like, and you know, the type of proposals that come to my table across the board from the different platforms that I work on, there's some really lazy agencies out there. Really lazy clients, really lazy brand managers, where people just want to get onto something because it is popular, because it is the jump right now. Whether it aligns, and you know, trying to retrofit stuff, and it just actually doesn't work.
That is so crazy, because like, because exactly that, right? And I feel like it must be so tough for like being on the client side now, or being at the agency side, and your client comes through and says,
I
need to be at this thing, right? And you're like, but you're big beans, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that must be like, and it must be strange now as well for you now, because now at Thekwil and Ritika, right, you get people who probably ask you to align with other things,
yes,
right? So how do your expertise in like the art of letting people down easy apply on internally, where you kind of have to tell your clients, hey, that's not gonna work.
I must say, like, I've been around as far as my career is concerned.
Yeah.
But the one thing that like kind of resonated with me at working, especially you know, with and for Gareth and at TNW, is that they will we really look out for our client's best interest. Like, we will disagree with our client if need be, and also we have some really great clients in the sense that like they do trust us, and we've worked really hard to earn that trust.
To get to that place,
and once you have someone's trust, you're able to have really frank conversations, like offline conversations with your client. Like, I know what it is that you're trying to get through this this brand alignment or this proposal. Let me come back to you with an alternative proposal, because sometimes I think that as marketeers, we need to look behind the request.
That's right.
Because the request is that they want to be aligned with something cool and relevant.
Boom.
Yes. It doesn't necessarily have to be
that particular thing.
Yeah. It is our job to then say back to the client, I hear you. I understand the motivation behind that request. Let me deal with the motivation behind the request, and let me get back to you with something just as cool and as relevant, but as an authentic fit to who you are.
There's also like a trend where it seems like the agencies have become the client's bitches. They're too scared to see
the client's what? Sorry, cheese.
Who are you calling about?
Because with regards to like actually saying like, no, I don't agree with this, it doesn't really work, I don't think it's the best thing.
Almost
the sense like, if we lose this account, we're fucked.
So it's now, a really tough position.
Give them what they want.
I
mean, I must say, you know, like, I can imagine that, like, it's not as black and white as saying that, you know, the people are lazy. Like I said earlier on, I'm exaggerating. I totally understand the fact that there are just so many like additional factors and considerations that are in. So I get it, but I think, you know, like, we must still endeavor to do the best that we can for our clients. And sometimes it's a very fine line, because you never want to come across as though you know better than the client.
But is it not the whole thing about us taking back our sense of expertise? Right? You know what I mean? Because like, sometimes clients walk in and they have no, just owning the idea of being the expert, right? Just like how someone comes into a dentist's office and says, how do you like dentists? But like, when somebody comes in and says, something's wrong in my mouth, right? You're not going to come in and say, you know,
I've isolated the cause.
If I'm not mistaken,
it's between one and three.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's actually, for me, it always feels like, and it's a conversation that I'm very, very passionate about, of claiming our expertise, right? We lead the conversation and we actually take our client's hands and go, let me tell you, what you think you want now is this, but let me tell you why you came to me.
Yeah.
Because you want me to tell you what the best thing is. And I guess that's what you're saying.
A friendly reminder. And I think there's also a certain level of...
That goes back to the whole relationship thing, that you build a relationship.
Yes, I was actually just about to say that. And there's also, guys, there's people. Like, we're all people. And the thing, like, just having... I think... having people with some level of emotional intelligence.
That's right.
I think emotional intelligence is something that we don't factor in when we hire, when we put certain people into a room together.
Yeah.
And I think it just...
hey guys, you can have...
I mean, you, 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 I mean, I'm sure we've all been it when you see that, you know, maybe a creative that you're working with has an intensely, like, it's an amazing idea.
Yeah.
But in terms of how they speak to the client, yep. how they can appeal to the client's sensibilities and objectives,
yeah.
it's you're just watching him light a flame and burn.
Why's it got to be a guy, Nani? Why's it got to be a guy? Why's it got to be him? Why's
it got to be him? Don't ever listen. You know, it's very unlikely a woman would make that. I can't.
All right, cool.
But like literally, and I think it's just all these kind of like sensitivities and nuances that you pick up with age / experience.
Yeah.
You know, the longer you've been in the room, the more you know that, okay, I can see my creative is putting my client in a very uncomfortable position.
Yeah,
you call the meeting short.
Yeah.
You go have an offline discussion with your client. You try to find a middle. You finesse and you find the situation.
That's right.
And I find that sometimes, you know, people on an agency side, we can act with arrogance in yeah. how we handle our clients. And you know, and the thing is, at the end of the day, we are being paid a service. We need to understand.
That's right.
We are here to serve our clients.
Guys, so, you know what I can just like imagine how much BUD envy a whole bunch of people are having out there. Because it's not anyone who believes what you do. You know what I mean? Like what you just said now is not necessarily what we're experiencing in agencies. You know, I've heard all kinds of amazing things in agencies where like people literally kind of think that they are the client's arm in the agency.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, look, that I'm sure that's cool in your head, but it doesn't make sense to everything that mm-hmm. we do because it just doesn't make any sense. And like, I'm sure it's also like a big balancing act,
yes. right?
Where you kind of go, the client must also feel like,
yeah.
you know, they're represented by you in yeah. the agency.
And at the same time, you want your creatives yeah. to feel represented when you are back with the client. It is, and like I said, like, like emotional intelligence is a huge consideration.
Yeah.
You know, like who you've hired to speak on behalf of, you know,
yeah.
On both sides is really, really important. And I think it's not an easy balancing act, but it is our job.
That's exactly what we do.
You know, the black and white of it. Like I'll sit in a room and something like, not like, and like, you know, like, whether it's with the client or with creatives and people like, no, but they don't get it. I'm like, after the massaging, I'll quickly throw in, but you know, it's the client, right?
Yeah.
Like, pay for this, man. I hear you. I will give you a hug. And I have been incredibly fortunate enough that like to work with like some like really great like talent, but yeah. also with people with like enough emotional intelligence to understand
yeah.
lane.
That's right.
You understand why you are lane. In this room. You know, and like,
I love that. Yeah. I love that a lot. But you know, like, and I get the sense that like, you know, you kind of have this this nurturer approach as well. In as much as I get the sense that you can go wow.
Yes.
It does feel like you have this nurture approach to kind of business and to everything that we do. And also, I mean, from everything that I've read and from all the stuff that you are up to.
Yeah.
Mentorship feels like it's like an important thing too.
It's a big thing for
yeah?
me.
Yeah. And so talk to me about like some of the things that you've got or some of the programs that you got in place that are about mentorship that are based on the idea of kind of mentorship.
Yeah. So I have a particular emphasis on women and creative women and entrepreneurs specifically.
Yeah.
I think that, so I have this conversation platform called Bloom. And what we do is we host these monthly conversations called Women in Bloom.
Right.
And this is basically like in studio, in office chats with women who we feel are undeniably in bloom.
Right.
And we allow people access to this woman.
Right.
To have like a Q&A. So
when
I'll
you say
do
people, is it both men and women?
It is just women. Okay. Only because and you know, not that I want
I have to ask the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked the question, Chetsa.
What's up, guys? That's cheese, guys. Cheese is here, guys. What's going on?
So so we have these sessions, and what happens is that the whole purpose on it, because I think our understanding of mentoring and mentorship has evolved with the times.
Right.
You know, mentorship, you know, 30, 40 years ago was about lots of time, lots of personal investment.
Right,
with
right,
the person.
Right, right.
So my mentor and I spent like, you know, we'd have dinners regularly, coffees, catch up sessions yeah. and so on. But times have changed. I think understanding of mentorship and how it can like be facilitated
yeah.
has obviously evolved. So now by bringing even like, and highly inspiring and aspirational woman face to face with somebody who is like in the beginnings of their journey is still a form of mentorship.
Right.
You know, I think it's the basic level mentorship, and there, I think there are levels to it.
Yeah.
So in that space, you have this young woman who get the opportunity to speak to, you know, like a Simone Busman, who's like, you know, EP and like pot owner of Mola Sana.
That's
say,
right.
Okay, cool. If I'm trying to come up and I want to have my own production company, what?
Yeah.
And the third. And then it's great because they're actually intimate. They're capped at like 10 to 20 guests.
Yes,
because you want the speaker to have the opportunity at the mingle to actually talk, chat, you know, and you just kind of like...
not just another talk.
Yeah, and you set up the stage in such a way that it becomes organic networking. I hate to call things networking...
Sessions
or whatever, because it's a whole lot of pressure. And I think it sometimes it becomes a little bit irresponsible.
Right.
Like, I think when you want to set up a real networking session, there are certain elements you put in a room. You consider the space.
Yeah.
You consider the person you've invited. You consider the number of women in the space. All these kind of things. Yes, and you want to set the stage so that it's conducive enough for organic networking to happen.
That's right.
Because you want...
Not that business card stuff in a bowl.
No. And I think there's the space for it. And I think that everybody trying to do all these kind of like mentorship feeds and whatnot and whatnot, there's a space for it. My particular thing is that I find it like... Other networking sessions I've been to, I found them pretty awkward.
Yeah.
I resonate with what I'm doing, and women are resonating with it too because they are well attended.
It seems like most of the stuff that you do or your output stems from what your personal...
Like the stuff that you believe
in. I am selfish as hell. It's all about me.
No, that's tough though. What I wanted to know is like, do you find that there are a lot of women or young women in the creative kind of fields attending these things?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you found that has started to have an impact on them?
Oh, how do you choose your guests, more importantly?
Absolutely.
You know, I know the speakers. I can get where that comes from, but how do you choose the guests? Because you say you keep it to a small...
Yeah, so the guests, the basic limitation to the guests is on the number, so it's capped.
Yeah.
So we'll say only 10 seats available.
Yeah.
And then like you've got to be proactive, you know, and get the seats. But what has always happened is that, because we have a Bloom tradition, and at the beginning of all of our talks and our events is everybody gets up, says who they are, what they do, and what they're passionate about.
Right.
And I think, you know, people start peeping each other out in that beginning phase. They're like, okay, cool, that one's a publisher. I'm gonna have a conversation with her. So, and it's that level of like thinking. I think people just think, oh, we're just like... talk.
And it's like,
we sit and we're like, what are the things, what are the rituals, what are the practices that we can like introduce into this experience that will set the stage for an organic, like, you know, conversation to happen, you know, connections and all that kind of stuff.
That's amazing. I'm sitting here in awe, actually. I feel like the people who work with you must just like be like, yes, us. You guys don't know how blessed, #blessed we are in this. No, because it's cool. It feels like I said, I get this like this nurturer approach to everything that you do, even towards the relationships, you know. And I'm not talking about that relationship. But I'm talking about relationships with your clients and all that. But there's this other thing that you do, right? Called Joho Moms. Yes.
Okay.
Talk to me about that. Like, guys, I told you guys. Like, I don't know what this lady does not do. Over and above being a beauty. Negative. Talk to me.
I blog. I say it with such shame. I blog. Again, out of a personal need, and I think you've seen personal need and motivation have a huge factor. I think it helps me keep my intentions authentic because they're actually real. They evolve to become commercial opportunities. They don't start as commercial opportunities. So I have a 6-year-old son, and I remember in the time that I was pregnant and shortly after giving birth to him, I was just like, amongst my friends, there weren't a lot of other mothers. There were actually very few other mothers. Yeah. So obviously you're trying to find like-minded women, a community that you can just you can connect with.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, it's a place where moms hang out.
Yes.
Where is this?
Where do the moms hang out?
I'm asking for a friend. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of guys who want to know where the moms are.
The samurai, they teach each other.
So it's actually, it's a digital... it lives digitally, so actually a blog. So what it is, it features creative moms and women that should have known. I didn't even realize it at the time.
Right.
It was only about looking after the host of interviews that we had done. I'm like, oh shit, it's all creative.
Creative women.
It's a creative woman again. Yeah. But it was literally just like interviews with other women that I knew, and just asking them, like, there's like a format of questions that we ask all of our women, because I think you want to have like you want to track like parallel. Like,
so the questions have to be consistent.
Yeah, so you want to see how the other person handles the same thing. Yeah. And it's so amazing because people like, society likes to like paint motherhood with this like awesome pastel, you know, like
that's the picture I have of it.
Brush. Yeah. And the thing is, it's hard, like, you know, like just the depression that goes with it,
right,
the feeling
right,
of inadequacy
right.
and so on and so forth. And like, it looked to people at the time that, oh my God, she's doing it all. But I was really struggling with the response. Responsibility,
yeah.
you know, of it all, and just like speaking to all these different women and sharing their stories, you know, enabled me to become a better mom and woman, you know, to some degree. Exactly. I think
always felt like it always looks like women have got it in control. Other mothers look
and we're don't yeah. guys were sobbing at the traffic lights.
Yeah.
And some, you know.
That's insane.
I'm so tired. Oh my God. But I gotta get to this meeting at TSDV.
I want to enter strike.
I wanna play drums with drumsticks from KFC, but I don't have time to go to the KFC. But I mean, it's like it's insane the expectation
order.
You know, people have on us, and just community. My God, it is just amazing to find to find your people.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you know
insane.
Whatever your people are.
Yeah.
You know that your tribe, whatever you want to call it. It's just like you feel blessed.
That is so dope. That's so dope. And for me, I think it leads me to another question that I actually never thought about until now. Like the advertising industry has always felt to me like they're like the 4, 5, 6, 7. Popular agencies, and then there's like the agencies you kind of never hear about.
You
right?
forget,
you know what I mean?
You're like, oh, they're still open.
You know what I mean? And I think that sense of like that sense of community, right? Like we recently there was that whole thing that happened about the pitch that happened, and like people were not supposed to go because there were too many people asked to pitch on the same thing. Do you think that sense of community, right, that you are obviously a big fan of, could help make those conversations in the broader sense of the game like easier? You know what I mean? Like if we're constantly in contact with each other, if we're constantly kind of going, you know what, I want to know what's going on in Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which I think is something that used to be fostered by things like Out of the Month back in the day, right? So back
yes.
in the day, you kind of used to find yourself hanging out at Joe Public, right? And you kind of go, oh, that's what these people do here. And you got to meet other advertising people. How important do you think that is, outside of it happening at Lurie's when everybody just had too many tequilas and like those other places? How important do you think that is?
I mean, for me, that's culture. It's like asking how important is culture.
Right, got you.
It's mad important. It's completely relevant.
Yeah.
And I think, man, like those different types of showcases and platforms that bring creatives together in a space where it is less like competitive and combative.
That's right.
Like help to nurture the industry as a whole and help to nurture the creatives within that industry as well.
Yeah.
So I totally am a fan of like platforms that choose to create that. It's such a pity that like some of them have actually kind of like dwindled away.
Dissipated, yeah.
And I think very much to the detriment of our creative community.
That's right.
And then when you see...
I hope you're taking notes.
Yeah.
Jeez, come on.
Bring it back.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I hear you. I mean, that's exactly what I'm asking. Yeah.
Seriously, and that's why like when we see like even platforms like Open Chair, which is like a Lurie's initiative.
Yeah.
And they were basically just like also like a mentorship program for, you know, young creative women trying to come up with the game. They get to sit down with like the medium to heavyweights in the game and kind of get that like love or support. Exactly.
Yeah.
Those kind of platforms like do more for us as a community than you can ever imagine.
That's right.
And I think that the creatives, everybody, like we just need to have more things that are inspired and motivated by with the objective of nurturing the creative community, and then we can go and compete on the accounts, which is healthy too.
Yeah, exactly. then I will smack you later.
But afterwards, we'll grab a drink, and you'll be like, yeah.
You're getting
the next one.
You're getting a whole lot of love on Facebook. Ooh, hey, hello. You're getting a whole bunch of love on Facebook. Trayvon just said, hey, what is sweets?
Hey, boo.
Shout out, Drayvon. But you know what's amazing is how quickly this hour flies by. I can't believe that we're almost out of time. Yeah. I didn't even get to ask you, but it's also because you do run your mouth.
Yes,
which is great, which is fine.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like not offended. Yeah. I have stuff to say, and I am worth listening to.
Okay, I love that so much.
Before we wrap up, tell us about the Feel Good series, which is your newest and latest baby.
Yes, I saw them. So as you guys know. The Weekend Social. We officially shut outdoors last year. We had our last event in December, and basically, kind of like spent a good portion of the year low key missing it. And at the same time, was just like constantly being asked, like, what are you doing? So I've always wanted to do something that's centered still around like a daytime party, but on live music, particularly.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of local and African music.
Yeah.
And what happens is that it doesn't get the platform it needs to stay alive.
That's right.
So I was like, you know what, the next time I do this kind of a party thing, it has to have something with a live performance
element
thing, element to it. And particularly, so sure, you can buy a ticket in any time, anywhere, to see the likes of AKAs, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, what about the other more alternative artists, the guys who are kind of bubbling under the Miller Bees of this world, the Something Soweto's?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, if we don't sustain and create platforms for these musicians, they will not exist. You know, because at some point, and I mean, we've had quite a number of musicians who have just hung it up and go, well, you know, I'm just gonna go back to, you know, my being an accountant.
That's right. Yeah,
a copywriter, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think, so that was pretty passionate about that. So we have them once a month, every last Saturday of the month at Josie Berg.
Okay.
One Love in Town. It's a dope.
That is actually rooftop. Quite a dope venue. I've been there. It's really, really
dope. It's a dope rooftop.
Yeah.
And basically, the whole thing is like, just to bring some really good, great people together in one space and listen to great music.
Yeah. Wow. Guys, like I said, I can't.
Oh, wait. No. I forgot. This is the part where I do the plug.
This is where you do the plug.
Real quick.
60 seconds, plug.
And real quick, we have our next one next Saturday.
Okay.
So do make sure to get your tickets at Quicket.
Okay.
How much are
they?
They are 50 Rand online.
Okay, cool.
And 100 Rand at the door. And this one, they come, if you buy your tickets online, you get a goodie bag from Alpha Craft. So they do the craft beers and ciders. Okay, cool. Some incentive, Anyana. Not that you needed an incentive. You should be buying your tickets anyway. And also follow us on Instagram at Feel Good Series.
Dope.
And you can follow me at Mama Kashaka on Instagram.
Dope. Fantastic.
Thank you so much
for coming to hang out. I think like I said, I feel like this show really should have been like 2 hours. Like I feel like there's so much more we can like.
Oh my God! No, there's one more thing. They're looking at me eyes. And then we have our Creative Women's Conference this Saturday.
Okay.
Bloom.org. So please follow us, get your tickets. We have amazing women on the panel: Stephanie Jason from 10 and 5, Sheena Adams from Destiny Mag, Tandiso Mazwai. I mean, do I really need to say who she is? Do the damn thing. We hope to see you. We do have to
wrap this up, guys. Thanks so much for hanging
out. I'm kidding.
Lose me my gig here. but thanks so much for coming to hang out, man. I think that geez, thanks for hanging out, man. You know, you had one or two good questions. I thought that was dope. But thanks so much for hanging out, Nandia. Once again, I feel like, you know, you are an inspiration to all those women out there who kind of go, in fact, all those people out there who kind of go, there are only 24 hours in a day. You know, I feel like I love your approach to everything that we do, because it feels like everything around you influences everything that you do in your 9 to 5. Like we said, no such thing as a side hustle. But thank you so much for coming to hang out. Guys, it's been another dope show. G-Man the Ad Man. We're hanging out. We didn't swear too much, so you can play this podcast for your mom. Play it around.
It was a Wednesday.
Exactly. Play the show in the agency, in the car, on your way to meetings or whatever. Get all the other podcasts as well. But I think this is one of those that, like, you know, you want to hear. You want to play this on a Sunday morning. You know, when Tusum Dong is saying too much, you want to play this on a Sunday morning. But once again, like I say every week, guys, take care of yourself. Take care of those briefs, but most importantly, take care of each other, because it's rough out there. And most importantly, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom! It's G-Man the Ad Man. It's your boy.
This is CliffCentral.com.